Thank you, Miss Edgel. Errol, I apologize. Errol's a better singer than Edgel, right? Was Edgel here? There she is. No. Good sisters, great voices. They use their lives for the Lord's glory. We thank the Lord for the sisters there. I want you to take a minute and if you have not given to our special offering for our pastor. Of course, if you're a visitor here, you don't have to worry about that. But we as members here for a long time, let's appreciate our pastor and try to do something nice for him and help contribute to that. We want to honor him. You know, a pastor is a gift from God. A great pastor is an awesome gift from God. And let me say this, we have a great pastor. And I get to travel some, and I get to go to different churches, and I thank the Lord for our pastor and his leadership and his love for our people. Many of the decisions that he makes and the things that he preaches is not just because he comes up here and preaches and has nothing else to preach, but he has you and your family in mind. And pray for him, pray for God's protection on his family. We've had a great summer, and the summer's winding down, but let's look forward to what God's going to do in the fall. We're going to have a great fall, but let me say this. Our church will continue being healthy, and our church will continue to grow, not because of us. We're going to, despite of us, it's because of God's blessing on this place, and as we, as Brother Joseph preached this morning, have families that honor the Lord. And I want to thank you, and I have to say that our families here in this church have a desire to honor God. I thank you. Some of you have been here for a long time, and some of you have battled, and some of you have prayed, and some of you have worked and sweat, and God has brought us so far. And church, I want to encourage us. I'm not preaching about this, but don't get the, you know, royal kind of high church type of attitude. Let's, Brother Bob Gray preached a message. He said this. I want to say it was out of Chronicles. I might be wrong. But he had preached a message on, I'd rather be a living dog than a dead lion. And I remember as a teenager hearing that, and basically he was saying, you know, don't worry about how you dress and act and how you, quote unquote, do church. Just be busy serving God. And God will bless. Let's have a church that continue to have a church that loves the poor, loves the bus kids, love reaching souls, and going forward. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8. Brother Daniel read Ephesians, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I want to thank you for being here, especially while you're on vacation. Some of you are on vacation, you're out here. You came here today, this morning, Sunday school, and then tonight we want to thank you for your faithfulness. Romans chapter 8, and let's pray together. Father, we pray, Lord, you bless these couple of maybe 30 minutes we have together here. Lord, help us to get some things from your word, Lord, that we can serve you more and we can be encouraged because of us being here today. We pray, Father, that you bless the service. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, there's a lot of doubt in the world today. I mean, you look at all the adversity in our culture, and just sometimes literally we feel that the world is falling apart from shootings, mass shootings. It seems like that's a little bit more now with shootings and mental health issues. By the way, it's not always the gun that's the problem. It's not. It's a person behind the gun. And make sure we understand that. We hear about shooting. We hear about FBI raids. We hear about international conflict. We hear about racial conflict. We hear our nation is in a political divide. By the way, I do not understand why it is offensive to say, I'm glad I'm an American. It's sad sometimes when you wear an American flag, you get looked at weird, like you're some kind of radical. If you call me loving America, that I'm a radical, I guess I'm a radical, okay? We love America here in this church. We love our nation. We believe in one God, one nation under God. Amen. And don't be ashamed of being an American. We love our country. I'm an immigrant. Came here when I was very young. I'm so glad I'm here. at this place. I'm so glad the gospel reached me. I'm so glad that we could preach and God called me to serve him. But it seems that these stories bombard us and bombard our lives in a regular basis. As Christians, we can be overwhelmed with the media we consume, with the circumstances of our personal and personal stress and heartaches and even anxiety of the world around us. And we can either run and hide and concede in defeat, or we can live in victory that we find in Jesus Christ. There's a difference in choosing to live in victory and actually living in the victorious Christian life. If you were to live in victory, we must purposely, let me say this, we must purposely apply in our lives God's principles. I've talked to many young people that have grown up in our church, and I thank God for the young people we have here. I mean, the ladies that sang, some of them, a lot of them grew up here in church and in the choir, youth conference. I talked about youth conference the other week. Just about the whole youth conference were run by our former young people and our young people now. We have a great need for young people to serve the Lord. I thank God our church here is training up the next generation. They say close to 80%, if you will, of young people that grow up in church leave the faith. You contribute that to the public school system. You could contribute that to culture. You could attribute that to a lot of things, but I thank God that our church is not like that. The numbers are probably reversed, if I'm not mistaken. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, the Bible says this, "Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us." As Christians, we're conquerors. How do we live in the victorious Christian life? How do we have victory? If you were to live in victory, you would need to claim the victory that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have such a wrong perception of victory and what it is. We think and we pray and we ask God, "God, give me victory in this and help me to do these things that I'm overwhelmed and I'm stressed and I just have so much anxiety in this life." What is the strategy? How can we overcome? How can we be an overcomer? God has promised the victory, but how do we overcome? In Ephesians, we had just read the Word of God lists of components of the spiritual armor that we need to protect ourselves as Christians. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." By the way, we have too many soy Christians, if you will. We have too many just weak Christians. We need people to have some resolve and stand up for God and stand up for what's right. But the Bible says here, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And the Bible says here, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." The fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil wants to destroy your life. He wants to wreck you. He wants you to live the defeated Christian life. He wants you to be a bummer, if you will, and say, "Man, woe is I." And he wants you to feel sorry for yourself and just live in fear. Satan attacks, as we see in this passage of scripture here, in 8 different ways. He wants to keep us from God's strength. He wants to steal our honesty, and he wants to take what's in our heart, the Word of God, and tear it apart. He wants to take our righteous living. He wants to fill our life with anxiety and doubt. He wants to confuse our minds, and he tempts us to sin, and he hates it when we go to the Lord in prayer. Satan's after you. The Bible says that he is as a roaring lion, seeking about whom he may devour. If you are not, if you are to be an overcomer, if you're going to have victory in Christ, you're going to have to live in Christ's victory and not prepare or not trust in your own strength. And let me say this: you've got to prepare now. Daniel said that he prepared in his heart, or he purposed in his heart, not to defile himself. There was a time before he had to have and he had to face that temptation where he prepared himself and he purposed in his heart what to do. For us to have victory in Christ, for us to be overcomers and live the fulfilled Christian life, we have to plan for it. Because when Satan attacks, when Satan comes, you're not going to have time to prepare. You're not going to have time to call somebody and say, hey, I need help with this. You might not have that time. Let me say this. You might not even have time to pray. You think to yourself, man, I'm overwhelmed. And when my heart is overwhelmed, the Bible says, lead me to that rock that's higher than I. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 says, but thank be to God. And we need to thank God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we can have victory as a Christian. Yes, we can overcome sin. Yes, we can be overcomers in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thank be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. It's God's desire, church, that you live the victorious Christian life. But so many Christians live in defeat. Today we want to speak about overcoming our weaknesses. But no, not overcoming our weaknesses so we can boast about it. We want to overcome our weaknesses so we can give God the praise. We want to overcome our weaknesses with God's strength. Finding strength is echoed throughout the Bible. Joshua, Moses, his successor, said this, be strong in Joshua 1 and verse 6, and of a good courage. He says in verse 7, be strong. He says in verse 8, be strong and of good courage. David to his son Solomon in 1 Chronicles says this, and David said unto Solomon his son, be strong and of a good courage. Strength is portrayed here. Paul to his son Timothy, his son in the faith Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 says this, thou therefore my son, he says, be strong. Christians, we have so many anemic children of God. All we do is eat candy and all we do is eat junk and we never feed our soul with righteousness and we never feed our soul with spiritual meat. No doubt. And no, that's why we go through life living and feeling defeated. There's more than 30 times in the Word of God that he commands somebody to be strong. But let me say this, it is not strength to fight. Some of us think strength is to fight, but it's strength to stand. See, strength is power to overcome someone or something. Strength is you having the advantage of other people and you can outpower them and you can outfight them if you will. That's strength. But standing is that resolve and that belief in something that is greater than yourself. See, some of us aren't that strong physically, but of all of us can have the resolve and have that passion, something deep inside of us, that grit in our core, that just something in there that says, you know what, I'm going to stand. Well, I remember back in the 90s, we had a, here in Long Beach, there was a gang war, the Hispanics against the African Americans, and then the Hispanics against the Asians. And I just came to California, and I remember just coming to Long Beach, and people used to ask me where I was from. And literally, when they asked me where I'm from, I was from Massachusetts. So I would tell them, I'm from Massachusetts. And one time I was at the skating, and I came, and they didn't like it. They socked me. I said, what, you want me to go further? I'm from Cambodia, Cambodian. I did not know they asked you where you're from, not to know where you're from, you know, where you came from. They wanted to know what gang you're from. I wasn't affiliated in any gang. I just wanted to skateboard. And I came here and I saw graffiti on the wall. It says ESL. Well, back in Massachusetts, when I was from, ESL meant English, second language. So I'm thinking, man, these people are prideful. These people have some that they're in English, second language. That's where I went. I didn't want to go there. I just didn't speak English well. But it was a big gang thing. And I remember playing basketball. Brother Pineda, you might have been there. I know, brother, two maybe. And I we had the basketball league. And I remember some gangsters came, Isai Longo. They came in. And they started, a guy got a big old dog, came in. We were playing ball, just practicing, playing, and started cussing, said words I've never heard for a while other than words that Brother Joseph talks about. I mean, these words were like, whoa. And in that crowd that were playing ball, there were some guys that thought they were hard. You know, I mean, man, they had their, they talked this, that, and whatever. I was just a Christian, you know. And I remember standing there, and they started cussing out the Lord and everything like that. And they said, how many of you blankly, blank, 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 and they said, are Christians? And Brother Joseph, you remember that gate on, Brother Two, you remember that gate that we used to have a remote, it goes back and forth, and there was like a little brown box thing right there by that gate. I was just sitting there waiting for, you know, somebody to pick me. I'm playing, you know. I was like the last on the bench there. And I was hoping one of the gangster type of guys, the guys that talk tough and the guys that were stronger than me, would say something. Nope. Everybody just sat there, stood there. No eye contact. I'm just looking at him. I was stupid. I didn't know any better. I was like, man, yeah, I'm a Christian right here. Yeah, what's up? And he came up to me. I thought, it's going to be a fast one. If you're going to do it fast. Let me get one in real fast, too. If I'm going to get beat, I'm going to have to get one in. Hopefully the dog doesn't kill me. But, you know, and I was there, and the guy just came, cussed me out, and I thought I was going to die that day. But as he was cussing out the Lord and cussing out the church and ridiculing Christianity, I was a child of God. I didn't want that. I said, somebody got to stand up. Somebody got to do something. There are stronger guys out there. There are stronger guys just standing there. But you know what? I was dumb enough to say, you know, I'm a Christian. Guys, I don't appreciate you talking like that. Fighting takes physical strength, whereas standing takes resolve and belief in something that's greater. Why are we not called to fight but to stand? Four times in Ephesians chapter 6, God commands us to stand. Why are we challenged to stand and not fight? Here's why. Because Christ has already won the fight. He's won. He won when he rose from the dead. He won the battle. All we have to do is just stand up and proclaim the victory that Christ has already given us. We're not called to be strong and stand in the, or we're called to be strong and stand in the victory that Christ has already given us. God wants us to face our future with confidence, not because we're strong, not because of our strength, not because of our skills, but because of him. God wants us to live in victory. Not our own accomplishments, but because of his accomplishments. God wants us to stand in the resurrected Christ and believe in what he did for us so we can be overcomers. Amen. So what does it mean to be an overcomer? What does it mean to live the successful Christian life? What does it mean not to live in failure? How do we exchange our weaknesses for God's strength? If we're to be overcomers, right here, number one, we must stand strong. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong. God wants us to stand fast in the faith. What are you leaning on today? What are you trusting? So many people during our weakest hour and our weakest time when we don't understand, instead of getting on the ground and trusting God and standing in his strength, we stand on our own strength. What are we leaning on today? Can I ask you a question? Are you leaning on your own strength or are you standing in the Lord's strength? You just look at the start of your day. This is an everyday thing for some of us here, probably all of us. Your dependence on the Lord needs to start very early. What are you going to face? You wake up, you're going to face your wife. Praise the Lord, I have a good relationship with her. And you know, as Christians, you should have a good relationship with your spouse and with your family. You face that conflict where the devil can use your wife and use your conflict that'll mess up your marriage and in your children. And then you get in your car, you go to work, you face traffic, and then somebody cuts you off, and somebody gives you the peace sign without one finger. And you're over there like, ah, at work, something happens. You face, and you struggle, and you have conflict with not only people you know, and then you go to the store or something, complete strangers will cause you to get upset. Are you going to walk and respond as the Lord wants you to, or will you lash out in the flesh? When we are attacked, will you be, what will it expose of you? When you go through trials, what are people going to see? What will your response be? Are you going to fight? Say, I'm going to fight about this. No, Satan is stronger. Are you going to run? Satan's pretty fast. Are you going to just wait it out and endure? Satan's pretty patient. And we can't do any of those, and Satan will win. But let me say this, we can stand in the power and in the grace of God. We need to apply God's word and defend the ground that God has already given to us and the victory that God's already won. Fight by standing on the victory through Jesus Christ. This is what our enemy does not have. He doesn't have Christ. He didn't have the power of God. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. So we must stand strong in the victory that Christ has already won. And that's why the Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 6. You should have it there. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong. And then it goes on to the latter part of that verse. Wherefore, take on to the whole armor of God that you'll be able to withstand or stand in the evil day. And having done all, what's after that there? What punctuation mark? Anybody know? Look at it. Having done all, there's a comma there to stand. He said, man, you've done everything you've had to do, and you've just exhausted everything that you have, and man, I can't do anything else. God says, after you've done that, go ahead and keep standing. Keep standing. How do we overcome our weaknesses? We overcome our weaknesses with God's strength. We've got to stand. Number two, we have to find the source of our strength. Our source of our strength would never come from ourselves. We need the strength of God. We need the strength that can only God can provide. Look at Psalms chapter 68 and verse 35, and I'll read it for you. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy place. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Isaiah 26 and verse 4, trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Man, what power does Christ have? It's everlasting strength. It's from end to end. It does not stop. Christ's strength is available for us. It's not enough to just believe in God. The devil believe in God. He said, I believe. Well, it's not enough just to believe. James 2:19 says this, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. He said, that's right. The devil also believe and tremble. It's not enough just to believe in God. We must receive his strength by claiming it. I can give you a gift and say, hey, I want to give you this. It's not yours until you take it from my hand. It's not yours until you accept it. And God is there saying, hey, I want to help you. I want to help you. I want to give you strength. I want to hold your burdens. And we're there. We want to hold on to it. We have to give it to the Lord and receive the strength that God wants to give us. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. Oh, if we're trembling, if we're anxious, if we have no strength of our own, we need to come to God. We find the strength through the Lord. The only time that we are incapable of receiving the strength of God is when we trust our own strength. Isaiah chapter 41, 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. As Christians, let's claim the strength of God. And when we're weary and when our heart's overwhelmed, God, give me that strength. I claim your strength. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Where do we get God's strength? We get God's strength from Jesus Christ, and we get his strength through Christ. But before we do that, we need to get strength from God's word. Let me use the word download. We need to download God's strength. R.A. Torrey, the great preacher, a person approached this great preacher and told him he had nothing from studying the word of God. He said, Pastor, I get nothing from studying the word of God. Torrey said, well, read it. The man said, I do read it. Matter of fact, sir, I read it daily. Well, read it some more, exclaimed Torrey. He said, take that book and read it 12 times a day for a month. He suggested to the frustrated Christian, matter of fact, read a certain book, he said, 2 Peter. It only has 3 chapters. Later, the man said to his wife that his wife said that man was reading 2 Peter 3 to 4 times in the morning, 3 to 4 times at lunch, 3 to 4 times after dinner. Soon, he lived. Soon, he consumed. Soon, everything in his life was about 2 Peter. Everything he ate and he drank and he studied 2 Peter. His pages were worn out with notes, he highlighters and tears and usage and just the pages frayed with turning back and forth. He looked to his wife and says, my Bible is messed up. His wife said to him, see how I've ruined this part of my Bible? His wife replied to him, why, your Bible has gotten darker. He said, honey, your life has become brighter. If your Bible, somebody once said, is falling apart, it usually means that you're not. We get strength from God's word. Psalm chapter 119, verse 28, the Bible says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. May we live in a supernatural strength and be overcomers and get God's strength by downloading the strength from God's word. By the way, let me say this. I'm going to refer our lives to like a computer. Our life, you know, I have a Mac, and in order for me to use the programs and the application I have to download it. And then after downloading it, it's not going to be any use until I open it and download and install the application of that, install the program into my computer. I have Microsoft Word. I probably use Word more than any other program. I had it in my computer, but I can't use Word until I install it into my computer. We have the Word of God, but the Word of God will not make a change if we just have it in our hands here. We have to take it, and we have to read it, and we have to apply it and download it, if you will, and open that application in our hearts. Oh, we have a lot of heavy burdens. We run sometimes to the internet and Google things. And we run to our friends, which is fine if they're good Christian friends. But let's run to the Word of God. And download that Word of God. Not just only read the Word of God. It's more than just reading the Word of God. It's applying it. It's living it. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, according to his divine power hath he given us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness, to the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are we giving us exceeding great and precious promises. These are his great and precious promises, that by these things we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He says, hey, we have everything we need right here to live a victorious Christian life. Everything you need in life and for life is in the Word of God. We need just to get it in our hearts. The truth will not help you unless you get it off the shelf. The truth will not help you until you apply it into our life. We have a lot of people that know the Word of God. We have a lot of people that know about the Word of God. You do not just have to know it, you have to apply it. How much are we applying God's principles? This is why we need to read the Word of God. That's why we need to meditate on it. That's why we need to memorize it. That's why we need to live it. And that's why we need to share it, because it is our lifeblood and our strength. We need the Word of God. In November 19, 2007, a 90-year-old lady named Pauline Jacoby loaded her car after she went to the local Walmart. Pauline had just finished putting all the groceries in her trunk, and she went up. And as she sat down, there's a gun to her head and somebody in the back telling her, "I want your money." Pauline was standing, sitting there, and she said, "No." The guy said, "Don't you understand? I have a gun. Give me your money." He said, she said, "No, no, no." She said to him, "You know what, sir? I don't care if you shoot me. I'm going to go to heaven." He said, "Sir, if you die right now, you're going to go straight to hell." She proceeded to start witnessing to him. After about 10 minutes, that guy got saved. His eyes were all teared up and crying in the back. And this 93-year-old lady, not scared of death, she gave her what was in her wallet, which was $10. And she said to him, "Now you're saved. Don't go back, be buying booze with this." And he left. You say, what made this 93-year-old lady stand up and not scared? Her knowledge and her application of the Word of God. We need to download the Word of God. We get God's strength not only by downloading the Word of God. We get God's strength by downloading worship from God. When a heart is overwhelmed, when it's sad, when it's incapable of strength and standing up, what do? We need to worship God. Psalm chapter 21, verse 13, "Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so will I sing and praise thy power." Psalm chapter 59, verse 17, "Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my defense and the God of my mercy." Habakkuk was a prophet of God. He was a prophet of God in a time that the children of God were living very disobedient life. They were living really wickedly. Habakkuk was praying and seeking God and asking God, "God, bring judgment on your people. They're living wicked lives." As he prayed, he felt that God was kind of shunning his prayer. And like, "God, why aren't you answering? These people need judgment." And he was kind of frustrated because God was not listening to his prayer. Well, God finally answered. And God gave Habakkuk direction that he would bring judgment, and that judgment that he was going to bring were going to be in the hands of the Chaldeans. These were one of the most wicked nation on the face of the earth at this time. They were brutal. They were savages. They didn't just conquer you. They made you pay just the punishment that they gave to these people that they conquered. It was horrendous. When Habakkuk heard about God, that God was going to give them judgment through these people, his heart sank and his bones were shaken to the core because of his heart was heavy for the children of Israel. And at his wit's end, not knowing what to do, Habakkuk wrote a song and worshiped the Lord. He said in Habakkuk chapter 3, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labors of the olive shall not fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herds in the stall. Yet," he said, "I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the Lord," or in the God of my salvation. "The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon high places." Habakkuk had a heavy heart, but his worship came through singing and praise. In the midst of my burdens and in the midst of my weaknesses, as Christians, let's worship God. Amen. We get strength from going to God's word, downloading and applying God's word. We get strength from worshiping God. And then lastly, we get strength from waiting on God. Not all of us like to wait. Being patient is a virtue, but most of us can't wait. Somebody once prayed, "God, give me patience, and I need it now." Psalm chapter 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You can have strength if you wait on God. The essence of waiting is to accept the unfolding plan of God in your life. It is to rest in the sovereignty of who God is. And we don't understand why God does things, but sometimes in our confusion, we can wait on God. Waiting on God is to recognize I can't change today or alter tomorrow. I just need to trust in Almighty God. So how do we wait? Sometimes we just need to slow down. In the busyness of life and going here and going there, we just need to slow down and we need to get quiet. The Bible says in 1 Kings 19, after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Somebody said solitude and silence gives us some space to reform our innermost attitude towards the people and events. They take the world off our shoulders for a time to interrupt our habits of constantly managing things and the busyness of life. Just the power of being in control or thinking that we're in control. We need to just set our time and just slow down and be quiet. And lastly, to pray. Prayer is the river of God's grace in our life. I want to encourage you, take 10 minutes a day and pray for God's strength. Take 20 minutes a day and pray for God's strength. David prayed when he said in Psalms, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I'm weak, O Lord. Heal me, for my bones are vexed. We download strength by waiting on God. I told you that was lastly, but this is last. We download God's strength through weakness. We download through God's strength through weakness. If you have your Bibles, last verse here, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. Second Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in what? In what class? Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproach, in necessity, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am what? Then am I strong. When we empty ourselves of our strength and say, God, I need your strength, that's when we become strong. Spurgeon said, God does not need your strength. He has more than enough power of his own. He asked for your weakness. He has none of that himself. And he is longing, therefore, to take your weakness and use it as an instrument in his mighty hand. He will not yield your weakness if you don't, you will not yield your weakness to him and receive his strength. Will you say, God, here's my weakness so I can exchange it for your strength? An overcomer will exchange their weakness for God's strength. November 18, 1995, a Jewish Israeli violinist, Itzhak Perlman, he's world famous, he came on stage to give a concert at a hall in New York City. I've never heard him, I heard the story. But if you ever heard him, or if you watched him, you watch one of his concerts, you know that getting on the stage is no small feat for him. Perlin was stricken with polio as a child, and therefore he had braces on both his legs and walked with a limp and always had the aid of two crutches. To see him walk across the stage one step at a time, stiffly, slowly, is just an awesome sight in itself, the writer writes. He walked painfully, yet majestically, until he reached the chair. He would sit down carefully and place the crutches on the floor, undoing the clamps on his braces, tuck that stuff under his chair, put his feet down, bends down, picks up his instrument, his violin, tucks it under his chin, nods to the conductor to proceed to play. By now, the audience is used to this musician's ritual. They remain respectfully silent and wait until he is ready to play. But this time, something went wrong. Just as Mr. Perlin finished the first few bars, one of the strings in the violin broke. You could hear it snap. It went off like a gunfire across the room. There was no mistaking that what had to be done. The musician would have to get up, lock his braces, pick up his crutches, and limp his way off the stage to get a new violin or replace his broken string. But he didn't. Instead, he waited a moment in silence, closed his eyes, and then signaled to the conductor to begin again. The orchestra began playing. Mr. Perlin continued from where he was sitting, and he continued where he left off. And he played with more passion, more power, more purity than ever before. Of course, anyone who knows that this is impossible, to play a masterpiece, let alone four strings, he only had three. But Mr. Perlin did it with magnificence. He refused to quit. The crowd could see him modulating, changing, and recomposing the piece with just four, instead of four strings, with just three. At one point, it looked as if he was returning the string to make a new sound. When he finished, there was an awesome silence in the room, and the audience rose in cheer. There was an extraordinary outburst of applause from every corner of the auditorium. Perlin smiled, wiped the sweat off his brow, raised his bow to quiet the crowd down, and said, not boastfully, but a quiet, reverent tone, sometimes it is the artist's task to find out how much music you could still make with what you have left. You know, sometimes as Christians, we live and we quit too soon when there's a problem. We need to look to God and say, God, you're not done with me yet. God, you have a purpose and a plan. I am not going to quit. I'm going to overcome. What are you going through today? What heartaches do you have? What burdens do you have? Let's bring it to the Lord and leave it there. Let's stand strong. Let's not only stand strong, but standing in the Word of God and downloading the Word of God and being quiet and just waiting on God and exchanging our strength for His strength, because our strength is weak compared to God's strength. I want to encourage us, let's overcome. Let's be overcomers. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. Help us to be overcomers. Help us not to live in defeat, Lord. You've already won the victory. All we have to do is claim it. Help us to trust your undenying great hand. We pray that you bless this invitation, Lord. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. If God's spoken to you and you need to do some business with God right now, why don't you take some time to come to this altar and say, God, in my own strength, I can't do anything. I'm weak, I need your strength.